Washington Commanders fans, rally up. It's the Rally Captain, and you're listening to Commander's Call. And now, your host, Sam Murray of Commanders 365.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Sam Murray of Commanders 365, alongside my good buddy Tall Jeff. He's 6'6". A lot's been going on lately in Commanders land, a lot since we talked to you last week. Some news regarding potential sale, combine news, free agency coming up next week. We talk about it all coming right up. Be sure to tune in.
Hot! Hot, hot, hot!
So the sale of the franchise has been talked about, floated around ever since Dan decided to hire Bank of America to look into the sale of the team. Today, obviously, something came out from the Washington Post saying that Maryland native, Bethesda native, Mitchell Rails has joined Josh Harris's bid to purchase the Commanders. As we know, Josh Harris is the owner of the New Jersey Devils, the Philadelphia 76ers, and has a stake in the Crystal Palace soccer team as well. A very well-versed owner who's worth about $7 billion, which people question if that obviously was enough to purchase the Commanders. So now he adds Mitchell Rails to the equation, who has a net value of $5.6 billion per Forbes. Like I said, Maryland, D.C. native, successful in his business endeavors, has the Glenstone Museum in D.C., which is really nice. Like we talked about the last pod with AJ, a lot to sort through here. What are your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, it's something, I don't know, I'm kind of in the camp, I feel like a lot of fans are too, where I don't really care who buys it, I just want Dan Snyder to sell. I feel like everything else is kind of like, pick your poison, which billionaire do you want? I think it's interesting, just transactions of this size, it feels like there's so many moving parts, and it's really hard to understand a lot of the reporting, which is why it was nice we had AJ on last week, is a good mediating force. Yeah, but I mean, I think can't be any worse than Snyder.
If you had to say a percentage point or your belief in that this team will sell, like where are you at with that? Do you think it's still happening? At what pace do you think it's happening? Do you think Dan's going to put up? What kind of fight do you think Dan's going to put up? Rather, it's where are you at with it? Because it is a lot to sort through.
Yeah, I mean, I think like AJ said, it sounds like it's definitely going to happen because one, it sounds like he's voluntarily trying to sell right now. And then it seems like if he were to somehow change his mind or try to get out of it, the league would certainly force it. I think just because of all of the scandals that have happened over the past year and just the I think overall reception to the idea of the sale, I think it's happening.
I agree. Like it wouldn't have gone this far, and we've covered this, you know, many times before. So for lack of sounding redundant, I don't think it would have gone this far if you know it wasn't really happening. And is it realistic that it happens by the owners' meeting, which has kind of been like the unofficial target that I think everyone's been kind of clinging to, and it might be a reality where we need to maybe temper that expectation. It might not happen that quickly, but by 2024, I definitely think this will be wrapped up, and the feelings that I have, and they can't be, I will say that I'm not an expert on any of this, and that's why we bring them on to talk to him, but it seems to me that the NFL obviously likes Josh Harris, and him adding that amount of firepower, or as a friend likes to call it, his war chest, you know, that money that they are going to have married together. I think that's a really big move, and I think that's the most legitimate move that we've seen towards the sale of this franchise so far, because other than Jeff Bezos, who has, I don't think, obviously we don't know two of the bidders right now, but that's a pretty big step, wouldn't you think?
So other important mentions, it seems like a couple of hires have been made on the coaching staff. Looks like Bobby Engram from Wisconsin, their offensive coordinator, who is also a Ravens wide receiver and tight end coach, is now our wide receivers coach. Shane Taub, formerly in Kansas and with the Chicago Bears as quality control. He is now one of our quality control coaches. And then new defensive quality control coach Reggie Howard was formerly at Campbell University as a DBs coach. So I don't really have a lot of thoughts on this. It's mostly quality control coaches. Do you?
No, not a whole lot of thought. I mean, obviously the Bobby Engram, I think, is a big one there. Former player, played for the Browns, I believe, and a couple other teams. I heard good things about him, you know, good tight ends out in Baltimore. So that's promising. Not sure which wide receivers he worked with out there, but you know, the name sounds good. And at this point, I'm kind of just trusting Bieniemy to, you know, round out his staff and roll with it. So I'm going to kind of have to see everything on paper or on the field rather, you know, before I make a judgment. But I'm on with Bieniemy bringing his guys in, and that seems to be, you know, they missed out on Greg Lewis. Greg Lewis actually went to Baltimore. I know they were, like, interested in bringing him over from Kansas City. So kind of seems like Bobby Engram might have been their second choice. So I am trusting to trust anything Bieniemy wants to do, as I did 4 years ago when Ron Rivera came around. So, yeah, not much else to say about that. Guess we'll lead into combine stuff from here. As a lot of you know, the NFL Combine ended Monday. Week-long thing in Indianapolis has been going on for years, where it's a big, essentially, interview room for potential employees. And teams are able to schedule a certain amount of visits, a certain amount of formal visits, certain amount of formal interviews. Taking a look at where Washington was at, the Commanders were able to formally meet with 35 players at the Combine. Per my source, Ken Johansson of Rigo's Rag, 20 of the players were offensive linemen, 10 tackles, 5 guards, and 5 centers. It's very obvious that Washington has needed help on the offensive line. Kind of an underachieving unit last year. Not even underachieving unit. They let a lot of guys go and didn't properly address the needs that they still had. So what do you think? Like, is first round possible, or do you think they're gonna, you know, go for later parts of the draft? Who are some guys that you think could be fits here?
Yeah, one guy I've been looking at who's really interesting to me is Paris Johnson. I think at this point he's probably not going to be there when they pick at 16. I think he considered one of the high ceiling guys, maybe like real raw as far as technique. But man, if you watch him, that man can move. He's like 6'7", gigantic arms. It was almost set a record for longest arms at the combine, I think, like historically. And I prefer him over some of the other guys, like Peter Skorinski, the Maryland dude, that don't have quite the same athletic profile. And if you watch them, they just look kind of stiff compared to him in particular. But I do think they'll probably go O-line or corner. I think that's probably the consensus for what people think. I have heard that there are a lot of cornerbacks in this draft, so maybe they'd want to target O-line in the first round, corner in the second, because the idea that if it's a deep corner class, you can probably have someone fall to the second who would be a bigger impact player. So we'll see what happens. It also kind of depends on how the draft falls, as we know. What do you think they'll go for?
Definitely, you know, to circle back to the offensive lineman chatter, I think you got them. If they're really going to roll with Hal, they got to spend that money to build up around him. You know, the trenches are the first places where, you know, you would find success with a football team, especially with the young quarterback. He needs that support. Going back to your point of Johnson, I mean, he's an absolute monster. There's a lot of times that I watch tape on him, or, you know, clips here and there, rather, and his arms are getting to the defender before the defender's even getting anywhere near thinking about getting close to him, much less the quarterback. I'm reading here on PFF, he's referred to a lab-built offensive tackle. I think that allows you to move Cosme inside, maybe start somebody like him at right tackle, and let him develop until, you know, it's time for Leno to go, Or perhaps Leno becomes a cap casualty and, you know, we get a day one starter at left tackle from the mid rounds of the draft. I think Paris Johnson could very well be one of those guys that comes in just dominates from day one. I too like him better than Skoronski. I think he's more athletic, he's bigger, and he's better with his feet. Somebody else that I really like too, I mean, this guy just is, he's just cool to look at as a football player as it is, but Cody Mouch from North Dakota State.
Oh, hell yeah. Ultimate football guy.
He's an ultimate football guy. He came to North Dakota State as a 221-pound tight end. He made it up to a 303-pound starting offensive tackle. It's a lot of milk, man.
And lost, like, a lot of his teeth, too.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how that happened, but judging upon his appearance and his past history, I guess just about anything could happen. But with all that weight gain, he didn't really lose athleticism, which is amazing. You know, like, it's just something you really don't see. But yeah, he's a mauler, and somebody I think maybe they could get in the second round, maybe the very back end of the first round. You know, it could be one of those guys that I could see, like Bill Belichick going for just to the back end of the, you know, somehow, like a weird pick.
Yeah, that would be a very round pick, because I think he played all over the offensive line. But I believe at the Senior Bowl, he even took snaps at center. He played like both guard spots, both tackles, and I think teams like that. Versatility. But back to Paris Johnson, he has 36 1/8-inch arms, which is nuts. For context, comparing him to Skoronski, Skoronski has 32-inch arms, so he has four inches longer of wingspan, which is obviously important on the edge. He almost like reminds me of Trent in the sense of how athletic he is. It was awesome when we had Trent, like, if you're doing an outside zone run to his side, you could do it without putting a tight end in and still be able to get to the edge just because of how athletic he is. So yeah, it seems like a pipe dream at this point, especially after how well he performed at the combine. But we'll see what happens. For me, a corner I really like, which is, I think this is everyone's probably top corner in the draft, but Witherspoon from Illinois, I believe. Dude just has balls. He's got huge balls, has no fear in the run game. Awesome press corner. But when you watch some of his tape, when he's playing the run, he looks like a box safety. I mean, he plays outside, but the way he like tracks down and goes through blocks, it's something. I think it's something that he doesn't have quite the athletic upside as some of the other guys do. Like, I think Joey Porter probably measured a little better, performed a little better, but still, I think he's another guy that Ron will probably like.
He's a fearless hitter, man. Like you said, in the run game, he has balls, and he goes out, he's physical. I think would fit the mold of this defense very, very well. Not sure he's going to be there at 16, but if he is, that's somebody that I would strongly consider jumping all over. I'd have to agree with you. Devin Witherspoon is my number one as well. Joey Porter's right behind it. Giant wingspan. Either, you know, I would be more than happy to see them jumped on at 16. That allows them to have St. Juice and a rookie on the outside, potentially move Kendall Fuller inside, allows, you know, more versatility for the defense. Now are folks going to be excited about a defensive player this year? I think if it's a corner, yes, maybe not all by some, but still my preferred would be offensive line, I guess, for the first round. But I mean, I'd love to trade back as well, but that's a different story. But either of these guys that we've mentioned at corner, I would be very, very happy about.
Yeah. You mentioned Joey Porter's wingspan. He's like, I don't have it in front of me, like 34, 35 inch arms, but he looks like, his body looks weird. You know, he looks so lanky. Like, when you see him, you can tell how giant his arms are. But another great press corner.
Yeah,
his dad was a stud.
I was about to say, he's got the pedigree, you know. So Joey Porter Sr. was an animal. So if he's got half of that in him, that's somebody that I'd want, you know, on the defensive side of the ball for sure.
Are there any players that you really like that aren't necessarily like for Washington, but just folks that you've liked watching or you're interested in seeing where they go?
the Commanders have done a ton of due diligence on tight ends at the combine. They had formal meetings with Darnell Washington from Georgia, Tucker Kraft of South Dakota State, and Brenton Strange of Penn State, all athletic talents that can play both the Y and the F position. I'm not sure that I'm really starting to like Darnell Washington, just like the fact of how large he is. I think he's like 6'8". He's an offensive lineman, and he's fast, and he can catch. And I'm not sure exactly what's going on with this tight end room. You know, Logan Thomas, it seems like he's going to be on the team, but, you know, with free agency and the draft and honestly, a little bit of camp or training camp, things like that can change. So we're obviously not seeing anywhere near a clear picture of what it could be in 2023. But beyond that, I mean, John Bates is a solid tight end two, tight end three. Armani Rogers showed a lot of promise before injury. Then you have Curtis Hodges, as well as Cole Turner, who was injured for the majority of the season. I think he saw less snaps than Reggie Bonifone. I saw that stat somewhere that he saw less snaps than Reggie Bonifone. So if you have people say, oh, we have these prospects, well, they got to perform and they got to be on the field to do that. And if you have an opportunity to get a guy like this Darnell Washington, I think it would be an excellent addition, and they could do a lot of things with him. Guy is a freak of nature.
Yeah. We do have a really weird tight end room, just in the sense that, I mean, this team loves project tight ends. So, I mean, starting with Logan Thomas, he would play quarterback coming out of college. We get Armani Rogers, another person that played quarterback. We get Hodges, and we have all these like really high upside plays, but none of them, with the exception of, I guess, Bates and Logan Thomas, have really like performed a lot. So I'm kind of curious to see how good they feel about going into the next year with this group. I do think that Logan Thomas could be a surprise cut candidate. And this isn't from anything I'm hearing about what they're saying, but just in the sense that I think he's like somewhere around the $10 million in cap hit. And I mean, ever since his injury, he hasn't really been the same. And he's what, 31 now? So you got to think that it's at least a possibility that he gets restructured or released just based on his age. And if they do want to see their young guys take bigger roles, something to look out for. But that Georgia guy's a dog, no pun intended. Watching him like push that sled in the Twitter video versus like the other tight ends doing it, it looked like he was like moving a church pew or something. He moved this like 100-pound sled with zero effort.
We've seen over the course of Ron Rivera's tenure as Washington head coach that a lot of times we'll see meetings that they have with these players and they'll end up getting drafted, or they'll end up picking them up in the free agent market after the draft, whatever. The fact that they're putting that much stock into offensive line, kind of to wrap up, and tight end, I think they're, you know, with this team, with that kind of situation where there's smoke, there's fire, is what I'm trying to say. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them upgrade the tight end position. I'm expecting them to upgrade the offensive line position, and it'll be interesting to see from here how things begin to shape out, like you said, with cuts and free agency coming up and whatnot. Speaking of free agency, do you have any potential targets in free agency that you think would add to the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's quite a few, and I'm really interested because a lot of what they do in free agency is going to obviously affect what they do in the draft. Like if they signed a big garter tackle, they might not be as worried about getting one in the first round, even though they'll definitely still add. but just like positions in need, I mean, there's a ton of corners, like Jonathan Jones from the Patriots, James Bradbury from Philly, Patrick Peterson's free agent again. Our dude Byron Murphy, who we both loved in the draft that he came out in 2019, he's about to hit free agency.
Washington fan growing up.
Was he?
Yeah, you remember he had like in the draft that year? No, wait, I'm thinking Byron Murphy.
That's what I said. That's what I was talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah. He had the he was wearing the R word shirt in like in one of his like high school pictures or something. He was a Washington fan growing up.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm in. Sign me up. And then even Shaquille Griffin, the corner just got released from Jacksonville. That's definitely a possibility. But I mean, I imagine just with how many like corners there are in this free agent group, they'll probably go after one, especially because depth has been such an issue for them.
Shaquille Griffin, I think, of all the ones that you mentioned, makes a lot of sense. I'm not really on board as much. It depends on money-wise for a corner.
Yeah.
I kind of would let them.
You already got.
We have a pretty good amount of money tied up in the secondary with Kendall Fuller, and I'm not sure, you know, what's going to happen with Cameron Curl. I'm not sure if I want to like grab somebody, you know, for I mean, if it's obviously a good contract, if they can, you know, figure out a way to work it, that's one thing. But if they were, Shaquille Griffin would make a lot of sense. 6 foot corner, very very good player. You know, cap casualty in Jacksonville, they got a lot to pay for. He would make a lot of sense. Someone else I think might make a lot of sense on the defensive side of the ball. Levante David. And it sounds like he's probably not going to be back in Tampa. They just announced that today, that he is more than likely not going to be able to strike a deal with them with their cap situation. Got uncertainty with Cole Holcomb. Although David is, you know, on the back end of his career. I'm not sure what age he is, but I'm pretty certain that he's up into his 30s.
Yeah.
But he's been great.
He's been one of the best coverage corners the past couple of years, even at being like 33 or whatever he is.
Well, linebacker.
Levante, what did I say?
You said corner.
Oh, yeah, coverage linebacker.
He's 33. But, like, he's great. I mean, he's been all pro. He'd be great for Jamin Davis, I think. And Jamin Davis, you know, although he did show flashes last year and played better towards the end of the season, I'm still not totally convinced he's going to be that Mike linebacker he was drafted to be. Levante David fills that veteran role, maybe can help along with the tutelage of him. I think he still has some gas left in the tank, especially for, you know, a defense with this amount of really good talent on it. He could be, you know, good cagey of veteran leadership there, even if he isn't the player that he used to be.
There's a lot of off-ball linebackers this year. We got Tremaine Edmonds too. I don't think they would go after him. He would be way too much money. But David Long, the Titans linebacker, and then TJ Edwards, the Eagles linebacker. I think the most likely scenario is they bring back Cole Holcomb, just because it feels like he'll be more valuable to them than he will be somewhere else, and he knows the system, and he's been just a really solid player his entire tenure here. And then we can also probably expect them to add one later in the draft. We have a couple of the undrafted guys who have played like a little bit here and there, but definitely seems like a thin position behind Davis and Holcomb.
Yeah, like I mentioned last pod, I think ultimately Holcomb returns. Overall, I can't really see them spending a ton of money in free agency. And these big names we talk about are more what-ifs than anything else. I see a lot of guys that, you know, who the heck is that? Or, you know, guys like Wes Schweitzer and things like that before, you know. I wouldn't expect a whole lot. Definitely a backup quarterback. I think that's going to be one of the very first things that's happened is them getting somebody for to sit behind and tutor Sam Howell. But very much looking forward to free agency. Legal tampering period starts March 13th at 4 p.m. Officially, free agency starts March 15th.
That's all we have for you this week, folks, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Sam Murray of Commanders 365, and that was Tall Jeff. Be sure to give us a follow on Instagram at Commanders Call Pod and at Commanders 365. Talk to you next time.